Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But right now, our friend Kevin Lembo, the state comptroller, joins us for the first time in 2020. Good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Ray. How are you guys?
We're good, thanks. We're good. Thanks for joining us. Yesterday, in your monthly updated financial and economic outlook, you predicted the state's on track to end fiscal year 2020 with a budget deficit of $28 million. If memory serves me right, and after the holidays, I have no memory. Is that the same projection we heard in December?
No, it's a slight improvement over last
year.
Oh, okay,
so,
good.
Hello.
Yeah, we went from about 32 to 28, but now we're talking about a piece. It's a small difference, and it's still showing red, so we've got to watch it.
But even so, You're talking about, I mean, compared to deficits past, this is like pocket change in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's the kind of number that could easily erase itself with some discipline and some trend in some areas around revenue coming in and some savings that are supposed to be realized in certain agencies. But it really does tell those working inside state government, particularly on some of these big accounts like healthcare that I work on, that, you know, we got savings targets here. We got to hit them.
What led you to make the better projection than a month earlier? What were the indicators that says it's not going to be as bad, although it's still $28 million?
Certain revenue categories were performing a little bit better than last month, so that helped a bit. Some of the potential shortfall in some of the accounts, the way it was trending last month, it looks slightly better this month, but that's the nature of these reports. As I just said, you know, when we signal to state government that, you know, things are running behind, that is supposed to motivate managers and directors to get on, for example, their savings targets or other efficiencies they're supposed to be working on. So hopefully it's having that effect.
What's the deadline each month for you to start making your projection? Is there a certain date each month that you cut off looking at the numbers and go ahead and make your projection?
Yeah, so, you know, OPM puts out a number on the 20th, and I know this is sometimes confusing for folks because the Governor's Budget Office, OPM, puts out a number, the legislature puts out a number, and I put out a number.
We're going to start putting out a number this year, by the way, just so you know.
I'm sorry, say that again?
We're going to start putting out a number this year starting in February.
Yeah.
If you want to put out 28, that would be helpful.
then it's 2-1, so yeah, exactly. You win.
But the nice thing about this process is, while it may be confusing, and if you don't pay close attention to it, is that, you know, any governor has a budget office that's partisan, no matter the party of the governor.
His people.
And no matter the legislature, you know, as much as they want to sort of be nonpartisan in their financial reporting, they still represent elected officials who conceived and voted on the budget. So, you know, they've got what they call a dog in the fight, right? So I have no dog in the fight. I'm looking at what they projected. So we look at what OPM puts out on the 20th, and then we look at receipts after that. We see if we agree with some of the inputs that OPM is using. And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But more often than not, we're all sort of dancing in the same square.
You know, I'm going to take a look at revenues for just a moment. When you take a look at that, where have you seen increases that maybe surprised you in the amount of money coming in?
You know, I think we talked about it last month. I was surprised at the number. It was above $20 million in revenue that actually did not come in based on the plastic bag tax. People were sort of getting it and bringing their own bags. I live in Guilford, where now we officially have a plastic bag ban.
I've heard.
Oh, really?
That number's going to go down further, yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
But then, you know, other categories. There's quarterly filers on the income tax side, and so much of what they bring in is cyclical. So, you know, from month to month and quarter to quarter, that improved a little bit. So, you know, it's a bunch of little things, Ray. I'd like to point to one, but it really isn't.
Part of your, and we're talking with the state comptroller, Kevin Lembo, in your report, which I'm reading now on your website, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services reported sales of single-family homes declined 7.18% from November 2018 to November 2019, but the median sale price increased by 2%.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of makes sense, right?
Right.
Inventory down,
prices are up. Right.
Right.
Yeah. That seems to be the business model.
As my dear friend Sandy Terenzi says, now's a great time to sell a house. I just had to get that in there. You know, that was...
Right, because the two-minute live reads you give her aren't enough.
You know, the other thing, but you were talking about, you know, expenses, so on and so forth, and one of the things you're concerned about is the cost of health care, particularly for state employees and retirees. How do you cut something like that?
Yeah, you know, in this, obviously not a new effort. This is my ninth
year
running that plan, and we've been at it and cut hundreds of millions of dollars out of that plan. And what's interesting about it is we didn't go in, mostly because we can't, because of the collective bargaining agreement,
sure.
And just slash the value of the benefit, because you can get savings pretty easily doing that.
Yeah.
But we had to go in and really figure out how to deliver these services in a more efficient and effective way, push people to care where we know they needed it, make sure people get the screenings. And all of that together has made our health plan much more efficient. Now, the next step is to take this efficient health plan and go directly out to the hospitals, for starters, and direct negotiate with them, not using the insurance company as an intermediary, but rather negotiating for our population for what we call a bundle of services around things like hip replacement, cardiac care, where, you know, we can get a better deal for the hospital if we go direct and take out the middleman.
Your segment on population is very... is incredibly interesting to me. The population decreased by 6.6% between 2018 and 2019.
Jeez.
But here's the thing.
Okay, give me a butt.
The natural population increase was 3,418 because of births, deaths, and net migration.
Right.
So everybody who's stomping their feet saying, you know, more people are leaving the state than anywhere else, it's like, in the words of the great Lee Corso, not so fast.
Yeah, not so fast. And I think folks, you know, leave for a bunch of different reasons.
Sure.
And nobody should be celebrating when someone makes either a business decision to leave the state or a personal financial decision to leave the state. But we all leave the state for different reasons, right? Some of us go to the warmth. Some of us just, you know, our lives will be better if we get out from under a state with income tax. And so we move to one that doesn't, frankly, after we've educated our kids and done all that stuff in the state with the better services. But I'll set that aside for a second.
Okay.
So net migration has been an issue for Connecticut, because what has preserved our population number over time has been this immigration coming in. And think about, you know, scientists coming into Jackson Labs, or
sure.
you know, economists coming into Yale or UConn. So highly educated and folks who are coming in to actually be part of our community. That number has been choked off quite a bit because of the policies of the present administration. So that actually is dinging our population number just a little bit. I'm not laying it all at their feet, but that's an element of it as well.
All right, I'm going to ask you about the plastic bag ban in Guilford. Is possession against the law?
I don't have an answer for that.
All right.
Probably the right answer. Kevin, thanks as always. We appreciate you breaking
Kevin.
It down in terms that everybody can understand. Our state comptroller, our friend Kevin Lembo.
Thanks, Kevin. I'll probably talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.